Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 74. Chapter is entitled The Deliverance of Shishupal. And today we're covering text 47 through to the end of the chapter, text 54. So I think that I'm going to focus on text 48. So I'm not exactly sure what's the best way to go with the Sanskrit. Maybe we'll do the word for word on 48. We'll do that responsively, and then we'll do in unison the Sanskrit for the other verses. Sound all right? No? Huh? Yeah, I got to start with 47, and then we'll do 48 responsively. We'll do this in unison. Okay. Ritvigva sa sadashyebhyo dakshinam vipshulam ladat. Sarvam sampuja vidya chakreva vidyam ekravat. Emperor Yudhisthira gave generous gifts to the sacrificial priests and the members of the assembly, properly honoring them all in the manner described by the Vedas. He then took the avavritya pitta bath. The text 48 will do this responsively. Sada yitva kraturajna Krishna yageshvara svara Uvasa katichin masan Suridbir adiyachita Sada yitva kraturajna Krishna Yogeshvareshvara Uvasa Katichin Masan Suridbir Abhiyachita. Please chant. Yogeshvareshvara Vasa Katichin Masan Suridbir Abhiyachitaha. Vaishnavis? Kadikvipa Katu Raja Krishna Yogeshvareshvara Uvasa Katichin Masan Suridbir Abhiyachita. Vasaka Kichin Masam Suridbir Abhiyachitaha Tajavito Kato Raja Krishna Yogeshvareshvara Sadhyadvitra, accomplishing. Kratu, the Soma sacrifice, Rajya, of the King, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Yoga Ishvara, of the Master of Mystic Power, Ishvara, the Supreme Master, Uvasa, resided, Katichit, some, Asan, months, Suribhi, by his well wishers, Abhyachita, begged. Thus Sri Krishna, the Lord of all masters of mystic yoga, saw to the successful execution of this great sacrifice on behalf of King Yudhisthira. Afterwards, the Lord stayed with his intimate friends for a few months at their earnest request. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the master of all masters of yoga, such as Lord Shiva, still he was controlled by King Yudhisthira's pure love. Thus, the Lord personally saw to the successful completion of the king's sacrificial performance. And after that, he agreed to stay with his dear friends in Indraprastha for a few more months. Okay, so now we can read, chant this in unison, 49. Tato nu Anishchantam apishvara yayo sabarya samyatya svapuram devaki sitaha. Then the Lord, the son of Devaki, took the reluctant permission of the king and returned to his capital with his wives and ministers. Page 50. Vanitam tadupakyanam Maya te bahuvishtaram vaikuntha vasino janma vipra shapat puna puna. I have already described to you in detail the history of the two residents of Vaikuntha who had to undergo repeated births in this material world because of being cursed by Brahmanas. 51. Rajasuya vabritena snato raja yukirya kama shatra sabamaje utube shira rajiva. Purified in the final avabritya ritual, which marked the successful completion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, King Yudhisthira shone among the assembled brahmanas and kshatriyas like the king of the demigods himself. 52. Rajya sabajita sarve sura manava techara krishnam kratum chasam santa swadamani yayur madhu. The demigods, humans, and residents of intermediate heavens, all properly honored by the king, happily set off for their respective domains while singing the praises of Lord Krishna and the great sacrifice. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the term Kechara here refers to the Pramatas, mystic yogis who accompany Lord Shiva. 53. Duryodhanam mite papam kalim kuru kalamayam yo naseha shriyam sritam krishva pandu sritashriyam. Translation. All were satisfied except sinful Duryodhana, the personification of the age of quarrel and the disease of the Kuru dynasty. He could not bear to see the flourishing opulence of the son of Pandu. Report. Srila Prabhupada writes, Duryodhana by nature was very envious because of his sinful life, and he appeared in the dynasty of the Kurus as a chronic disease personified in order to destroy the whole family. Sridhar Swami mentions that Duryodhana hated pure religious principles. 54. Yaidam kitayed. Yunus, okay, together. Yaidam kitayed vishno karma chaidya vadahitam raja moksham vitanam cha sarva papai kamuchate. One who recites these activities of Lord Vishnu, including the killing of Shishupal, the deliverance of the kings, and the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, is freed from all sins. Om Agyanatim Arandrasya, Dhananjana Chalakaya, Chapshur Umitam Gina, Prasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. Just so we can know. Focus a little bit. I'll read the first and purport that I'm going to focus on. There's a lot here, but this is the one that some other Krishna inspired me to speak on. So, thus, Sri Krishna, the Lord of all masters of mystic yoga, saw to the successful execution of this great sacrifice on behalf of King Yudhisthira. Afterwards, the Lord stayed with his intimate friends for a few months at their earnest request. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the master of all masters of yoga, such as Lord Shiva, still he was controlled by King Yudhisthira's pure love. Thus, the Lord personally saw to the successful completion of the king's sacrificial performance. And after that, he agreed to stay with his dear friends in Indraprastha for a few more months. So yesterday, Lakshmimoni, Mataji, she gave class and described how so much benefit accrued to the actual participants of these pastimes. And she went on how multifaceted these benefits came and how they were all interrelated. And then she also said, but it's not just the eternal associates of the Lord that benefit, but these pastimes are enacted for the benefit of all of us, you know, for generation after generations to come, because we can hear these pastimes and get purified. Nashta Pareshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. So that's there. There's another aspect of the benefit that accrues to us, and this is that most of us, I think all of us, we can safely say, are on the sadhana bhakti platform. So one great advantage to understanding sadhya, or the goal, is that it can be a source of impetus for us in our spiritual practices. So this may seem a bit far-fetched, and that also that far-fetchedness may be somewhat of an element of the internal energy of the Lord, because by nature, devotees are feeling, you know, very unqualified, you know, just intrinsic to the Vaishnava. He feels unqualified, unworthy, impure, on and on, like that. But still in all, according to Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's not against, I mean, this may seem like an obvious statement, but this, the definition of pure devotional service, anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadhyanavitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama When pure devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So, there's a point that Rupa Goswami makes, you know, that that aspiring to advance in Krishna consciousness, to achieve a higher platform, is actually very favorable. It's not like a material desire. You know, I want to be a big shot devotee. I want to be an eternal associate of the Lord. No, it's not like that. You know, the whole purpose, you know, when we're praying, this is a point that Chaitanya Charan Prabhu made in his Radhastami class, is that when we chant Hare Krishna, we're asking Krishna to engage us in his service, right? I mean, Prabhupada said it's like the genuine cry of a child for his mother, in his famous Mahamantra address. So we're crying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. And he makes a point, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu made the point that, well, I already got enough service. You know, I mean, I'm inundated. I'm, you know, maxed out. I'm on the verge of prayasha. So is it that I want more service? Or is it that I want to be more and more focused on Krishna? So that's all I'm doing, you know, just trying to please him. Everything that I do is for his pleasure, and that's my desire, just to please him. So so to come to that platform of Maharaj Yudhisthira, here it's almost, you know, this dichotomy or seemingly contradiction where Krishna is described as the master of all mystics, you know, in this verse that I'm speaking on. And, you know, he's also the Ishvara, the supreme master. But yet here he is. He's being controlled by his devotee. And this is the, you know, the achincha factor of devotional service. How is that? How can that be? You know, and as Chaitanya Charan pointed out, that completely defies the conception of God in the material world. You know, God is all powerful. You know, we accept that too, but this is also part of his power. You know, is this ability to transcend any kind of conceptions of God and reciprocate with his devotees in a very powerful way. So I launched this class by saying that there's another aspect of benefit that accrues to us, and that's that we've got a goal in mind. You know, so that may seem like an impossible goal, but how does one actually get to the platform where Krishna comes under one's control? How is that achieved? It's not something that we generally think about, but yet, you know, like back then with Thakur, in both Dasamula Tattva and also Jiva Dharma, he repetitively makes the point of the importance of focusing on Sajja, just like many devotees are going to Orlando today. So if we go to Orlando and we don't have a map and we don't really know where Orlando is, it's going to be a little difficult to actually get there, particularly in time for the Rath Yatra. Great. You know, so therefore, keeping the goal in mind is a significant aspect of our devotional service. You know, otherwise, why is it that Rupa Goswami, we're all Rupa Nugras, why did he put so much energy in his most important contribution in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on these higher stages of Krishna consciousness, if he didn't want us to study them and try to enter into more and more understanding and actually aspire for this stage, for these, you know, higher stages? So to the big question, I always like to try and personally apply Shastra in my life. It kind of, you know, it's my way, and I think the intention that Prabhupada had for all of us is to come to the Shastra Chakshus platform. So I'm, you know, training And so I was trying to think, well, what is this, you know, how does this apply to me? What's the personal application? And you know, how to get to this platform? So it may seem like, oh, right. Jim, I say, what are you talking about? This is like next to impossible. We shouldn't even be thinking like this. But yet, that's not the the mood of our previous acharyas. And it's certainly not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, but make this your last life in this world, you know, be determined to go back to Godhead. So how to actually do this? I think that, you know, a way to start is that in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, there are the wave of Samanya Bhakti in the second chapter, Nectar of Devotion. There's a description of the, I'm sorry, this first chapter, the Nectar of Devotion, is the six characteristics of pure devotional service. So there are two characteristics that deal with Krishna coming under the control of his devotees. And the first one is in is the four characteristics, which is Siddhurlabha, which manifests at the stage of bhava. Siddhurlabha means it's very difficult to achieve. Sometimes Prabhupada expresses it's very rare, very difficult to achieve. So then in Rupa Goswami, and it's also is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives the two reasons why it's difficult to achieve. In CC, it's Madhya 24.172. So Rupa Goswami says, devotional service, devotional perfection is very difficult to attain for two reasons. First, unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection even if he renders devotional service for a long time. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. Okay, so Prabhupada, you know, he unpacks. There's two ways. Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in their commentaries on this verse, they give slightly different angles. Jiva Goswami, you know, he describes the, you know, the difficulty, this, you know, unless he, you know, that you can't achieve it even by performing all types of endeavors on one's own. And he puts that into the category of practices outside of sadhana bhakti, like astanga yoga, like karmakanda, different things like that. Whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he focuses on, and this is how Prabhupada, what he does in this translation here, he focuses on how one has to actually have a real experience, real attachment for Krishna. And this takes place, you know, on the platform. It begins at Ruchi, fully manifests at Sakti, Asakti. So that has to be there before this goes on. Now, what does that all mean? How does that, okay, this sounds really good, you know, this is all nice theory, but what does it mean to us? You know, how do we apply this? So, Prabhupada in the purport makes some interesting points. Well, Prabhupada says that actually Krishna wants to see that the devotee is very sincere and serious without ulterior motives. You know, when that takes place, then the devotee is imbued with Ladini Shakti, and he experiences his devotion becomes really, you know, surcharged with Ladini Shakti, and experiences very, very high levels of pleasure. Just as Chaitanya Charan was saying, you know, about Srimati Radharani, you know, that she attracts Krishna. No, she's the personification of this Ladini Shakti. She's the personification of devotional service. So she's attracting Krishna, and she actually brings Krishna under control. So that attraction and bringing Krishna under control, kind of like the same thing. Just like in the material world, what is it that most people are attracted to? What kind of binds people in the material world? What's the most powerful force in this material world? Anybody? Okay. Most of us can speak from deep realization in this regard. So that is the binding force in this material world. And it actually, we see that materialists are completely controlled by it. Like a couple times a week, I go to physical therapy, and I do this warm up on this bicycle that doesn't move, right? You just rev it up, you know, and right in front of me is a big widescreen television. I haven't watched television, I think, and even before I joined the movement, I never watched television, you know, like for like 5 years before I joined. So maybe 45 years, I haven't watched television. But my God, you know, people are just inundated with this. This attraction between male and female forms the basic principle of material existence. You know, on the basis of this attraction, when it becomes attached to his body, his home, property, children and wealth. And this way, it increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So, Srimati Radharani is described, and Krishna, he's Madame Mohan. He's the attractor of Cupid. Cupid's that demigod that shoots arrows at people and, you know, ignites the lust, you know, the sex desire. So Krishna is described as Madame Mohan, and what's in that same train of thought, how is Srimati Radharani described? That's right. So she's the attractor of Cupid. Of, you know, so Krishna is so powerful that he just, you know, minimizes the capacity of Cupid to ensnare people. And but Madame Mohamohini, she completely overwhelms Krishna and attracts him. So this is the nature of Ladini Shakti. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, as our motives become purer and purer and purer, you know, as we're more and more trying to please Krishna, more and more Ladini Shakti comes into our consciousness. It permeates it. More and more and more, we experience higher and higher tastes, and simultaneously, Krishna becomes more and more attracted to us. I mean, it's just like, I get, you know, going back to the material example, the materialist, he's attracted by what gives him pleasure. Okay, so Krishna's, he's transcendental to all that, right? He's Atmaram, completely self-satisfied. But yet, he's also Anandamaya Vyasat, as are we. You know, we're pleasure-seeking by very nature. But his pleasure is achieved through the potency of Ladini Shakti, through Srimati Radharani, through devotional service. As we become more and more advanced, he becomes more and more attracted to us, more and more, well, I don't know if we should use the word controlled, but ultimately, as we enter into the platform of prema, and this is the other characteristic, the characteristic of Sri Krishna Karshani, which manifests as the last characteristic of pure devotional service, manifesting on the platform of prema. And this is that Krishna is attracted by a devotee, you know, who's on the prema platform. And he also becomes controlled. Krishna becomes controlled by such a devotee. So this is one of the reasons, you know, Krishna doesn't give that out easily. So Prabhupada says in the purport to the two reasons that devotional service, that Rupa Goswami enunciates, the two reasons that Krishna doesn't give it out easily, why it's difficult to achieve. He says, Srila Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that Krishna readily grants liberation, but does not readily grant perfection in devotional service. This means that Krishna wants to see that a devotee is actually sincere and serious, and that he does not have ulterior motives. If this is the case, devotional service can very easily be successful. Otherwise, it's very difficult to obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're talking about Maharaj Yudhisthira. So how to get that sincere, you know, unadulterated motivation, how to get there from where we are. Now there's a discussion in the seventh canto. That's the tenth chapter. This is right after Narada Muni unpacks the whole Nrisimhadeva Prahlad Maharaj pastime. And Yudhisthira, in his kind of Sukadeva Goswami has incredible intuitive powers. Nowadays we call it a lot of empathy. You know, you can really relate to what Maharaj Parikshit is going to. So there's all this glorification of these different dynasties. And let's see, I think there's... you know, that there's different dynasties have different, you know, like the Raghu dynasty has Lord Ram, you know, the Yadu dynasty has Lord Krishna appearing. But then just so that Yudhisthira wouldn't feel like he was being left out, you know, because... this is Sukadeva Goswami could intuit that he was feeling, oh God, you know, I'm just so fallen, I'm so lowly, and the Yadu dynasty has so much, and so he says to him, you know, even more glorious than the Yadu dynasty is the Kuru dynasty, because you Pandavas have appeared in the Kuru dynasty, and you know, Krishna, he's become your messenger. He stays in your palace. He does anything that you want because there's so much devotion, so much love in your heart. So, you know, this is the nature, you know, of these advanced platforms of Krishna consciousness, that devotees, you know, attract Krishna so powerfully that he comes under their control. So there's a, you know, another understanding, you know, of how we as sadhakas can come to the sadhya platform, of sadhya bhakti or bhava bhakti and then on to. Incidentally, you know, the very definition that Rupa Goswami gives of sadhana bhakti, Prabhupada cites it in Madhya 22.105, when transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses. It is called sadhana bhakti. Or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotional service eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. So, sadhya bhava. So this is how love of Godhead is acquired, you know, through sadhana bhakti. So that's really what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not have that goal in mind, when it's not really sadhana bhakti. This is the point that our acharyas make, Prabhupada makes. You know, this is what we do it for, to develop love for God, to develop first bhava bhakti, and then that's the first ray of the sunlight of Prema Bhakti. So there's an interesting pastime. Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Chicago with Brahmananda and Jagadish, that time Maharajas, and they passed a car that had on it Thunderbird. And so Prabhupada inquired, "What is this Thunderbird?" And so Jagadish responded by saying, "Prabhupada, it's a bird in American Indian legend." And he said, "Well, what is the purpose of the bird? I mean, what does it do?" And he said, "Prabhupada, I don't really know." And then Prabhupada said, "Well, we in India, we have a bird, it's called chatak." Okay, now this bird, it hovers underneath a cloud. And even though the cloud, and it's just the only thing that it will take for nutrition are drops of water, raindrops from that cloud. And even if the cloud thunders and lightning, the bird still stays underneath that cloud. And, you know, just waiting for that mercy. Even if the mercy doesn't come, just thunder and lightning. No matter what, that chatak is right underneath that cloud. So, and then Brahmananda asked, "Well, what does that mean, Prabhupada? I mean, he said, "Well, it's like that for a devotee. You know, he's just completely focused on the mercy of Krishna. No matter what happens, he's just going to try and get Krishna's mercy. If there's thunder, there's lightning, you know, he doesn't want to go elsewhere. He just wants those drops of mercy coming from Krishna's lotus feet." So this is the, you know, how we actually become qualified. So focusing. Now we may say, "Well, hey, look, I got so many desires, you know, I've got all these attachments. What do I do?" And the response that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in his commentary on 11.20.27-28 of Bhagavatam is that he recognized, "Okay, Krishna, I understand that sense gratification is not good for my devotional service. I understand that these desires that are still within my heart are not good for my devotional service. I want to get rid of them, but only you can free me of them. I'm going to go on with my devotional service no matter what. I'm not going to respond to these promptings from my previous life's sinful activities. I'm going to just keep going and try to please you. And I don't care whether you put me in some hellish condition, I'm going to continue to serve you. No matter if there's lightning, thunder, I'm still after the drops of mercy from this cloud of mercy from Lord Krishna." So that's the mood. So we just don't respond to the promptings of our senses and mind. We just keep going with our service to Guru and Krishna. So now there's another very significant point and the formula of how to, like, I maybe bit off a little bit more than I could chew with the amount of time, but I'll keep going. I'll try to end at 9 and leave some room for some challenging questions and comments. But when Prahlad Maharaj was obviously practicing Krishna consciousness, his father was really upset. So he went to Sandana Marka, his teachers, and said, "How have you let some Vaishnava come in and contaminate my son? What's wrong with you?" And I said, no, that didn't happen. Said, "What are you teaching him? It's not, we didn't do anything wrong." So then Sandana Marka said to Rani Kashyapu, "Just ask your son, ask Prahlad, you know what happened." And so he asked him, "What's going on? You know, how did you get Krishna conscious? How are you taking up Vaishnavism?" And so Prahlad Maharaj's first response was, "Matirna Krishna, Parata Sotova, Mitobi Padita Vihavatanam, Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamishram, Puna Punashtravita Charvananam, Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too attached to material sense gratification, they can't understand Krishna by their own endeavors, by the instruction of others, or by a combination of both. So then he goes on to say, well, how does it happen? You know, if I'm materially contaminated, I got all these attractions, what do I do? So then he gives, you know, kind of the real pivotal understanding, you know, of how we advance in Krishna consciousness. And he says, Naisham Matishtava Rukramangam Spishadyanarto Pagama Yadartha. And he is some Padarajo Bhajekam. What's the last line? Miskinchana Navanita Yavat. Okay, something. Last night, a little old brain here. So, unless one smears the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who's completely free of material contamination, one can't attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So only by approaching Krishna in this way can one become free. You know, by approaching Krishna in this way is by getting the dust at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Only in this way can one become free of material contamination. So it's actually the mercy of a Vaishnava. And how does that take place? How do we get the mercy of a Vaishnava? How do we get the mercy of Krishna? You know, how does it happen? When the devotee sees the sincerity, like Prabhupada would say, you know, how do we advance in Krishna consciousness? Sincerity is the key to our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we're sincerely trying to please Krishna. That's just the focus. The whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is based upon this principle. You know, Anyabhilashita Sunyam. You know, it's just always just trying to please Krishna. Always focusing in this way. The Chatakvard, you know, it's just this constant meditation. How am I going to please Krishna? How am I going to increase my service? How am I going to advance in Krishna consciousness? Constant meditation. Even if the promptings push us in a different way, we don't respond to those promptings. If we're in that situation, that's the pure devotional platform. It's not some, doesn't, you know, and sadhana bhakti is part of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We don't have to be on the platform of bhava or prema to be practicing pure devotional service. It's included if we have this mood that I described Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary presented. You know, we just don't respond. We don't follow the dictations of the mind and senses. On the other hand, we just try to please Krishna. Hare Krishna. And then very, very quickly, you know, our advancement will take place. The combined mercy of Krishna, which enables us, the combined mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnava, we experience this Vadini, you know, this intensified Vadini Shakti, and it becomes very pale in comparison. Sandrananda Visheshatma is the fifth characteristic of pure devotional service. That's on the platform of prema. There, one can't even conceive of the existence of sense gratification because one is so absorbed in the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. You know, in Moksha Laguta Krit, you know, this is another level of happiness. So going back to the bhava platform. And there the happiness is so great that one, it's just inconceivably greater than that which can be derived from sense gratification or from liberation. Moksha Laguta Krit surpasses liberation. And then going back, you know, we're on the platform of sadhana bhakti. So even there in Shubhada, you know, this is all auspiciousness. One of the aspects of auspicity is there's a vastly superior happiness that one derives in comparison to that which one gets through sense gratification or liberation. Okay, try my best. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna, Ruchira. Nothing. The microphone, hold on.
You were explaining about how pure devotional service, it can be that we have that already if we're thinking of the pleasure of Krishna. Is that like the example that Srila Prabhupada gives of the mango?
Yeah, the green mango, unripe, green mango, ripe mango. Yes.
But we're still...
Same mango.
So we're still practicing, and maybe we have things coming into our minds, but we're neglecting carrying on with our devotion.
If we don't neglect them, but we follow the promptings, then it's mixed devotion. It's either Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And that doesn't, it's not the same facility. Well, when we practice Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service, when we really struggle to do that, we're on the express elevator. Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti takes many lifetimes for one to achieve maturity. There's also another point that I neglected to make, but it's a significant one. So we may have so many struggles as devotees within our movement. One time, this was in the early days of ISKCON Juhu, when there was just incredible challenges going on. And Mr. Nair and, so many crazy things, devotees getting malaria and hepatitis. And, they're living in a swampy, mosquito-infested area. And Tamal Krishnamurti was Prabhupada's lieutenant general in this whole development of Juhu. He relied on him very heavily. And so they worked very closely together. And one day, as I heard from Giriraj Swami, one day Tamal Krishnamurti exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how can I think of Krishna? My mind is simply filled with temple finances." And then Prabhupada responded by saying, "Yes, many lifetimes we've wasted on ourselves. If just in this one lifetime we can dedicate heart and soul to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then at the end, even if we're not completely perfect, Lord Chaitanya will personally come and he'll take you back to Godhead." So this is a promise. Generally, you look at shastric descriptions, there are certain levels of advancement that one comes to. Sometimes you look at the descriptions of the acharyas and you can see this is not a one-lifetime operation. But Prabhupada, he's probably the most empowered Vaishnava in the history of this planet. And, if you look at 10.2.31, there's a description of how the acharya discovers the ways and means to cross the ferocious ocean of material existence. And he leaves this means behind for other devotees. And Krishna accepts these means because of his love for his pure devotees. It's a pretty powerful point. This kind of empowers the time, place, and circumstance adjustments that the acharyas make. And Giriraj Swami gives a very interesting Prabhupada pastime in this regard of this empowerment. He describes how when he joined in Boston, I think it was 68 or 69, and he heard a story that Prabhupada told from another devotee, and it just puzzled him for years, and then it finally dawned on what he was talking about. But the story goes like this, is that just as a businessman sends, he's the proprietor of a business, and he sends representatives into the field to conduct business on behalf of the establishment. So this representative goes out and he negotiates a deal with a client. And he closes the deal. And he comes back to the establishment, you know, with the check in hand and, you know, the terms of the agreement. And the proprietor of the business is obliged to accept the contract that the representative has made because he's a representative, even if he doesn't agree with all of the terms of the contract that were negotiated by the representative. But he's still the representative, so he's obliged to accept it. So when Gary Raj, you know, the obvious analogy is there, is that, you know, the spiritual master, the acharya, is a representative of Krishna. He goes into the field, he negotiates the terms by which one can engage his mind and body and senses in Krishna's service so that he can, you know, the whole deal can be closed and this person can go back to Godhead. So Gary Raj Swami says, well, how could the representative of Krishna have a different understanding than Krishna? They completely bewildered him. And then years later, it dawned on him how this all worked. And he gave the example of how Krishna wanted Subhadra to marry Arjuna. But Balaram, you know, he's also the personality of Godhead. He wanted Subhadra to marry, of all people, Duryodhana. So then it just, you know, it kind of all started clicking in. So it's a different person. It's a different understanding. It's a different view. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you know, he introduced the sannyas ashram because all of Gaudiya Vaishnavism was just, you know, it was like these babas, you know, and 99% of them weren't following the regular principles. And so, you know, he also initiated, gave diksha to those that weren't from Brahmin caste, to the point where it was so controversial that the Goswamis in Vrindavan had actually offered money to a law enforcement officer to kill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But then, you know, Prabhupada, his move was quite different in coming to the West. He studied the culture and, you know, he made major adjustments. You know, he allowed Vaishnavis to, you know, the Brahmacharini ashram. That wasn't done before. You know, so many adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance, but they were fully empowered by Krishna. So this commitment, this promise that Prabhupada gave us, if we simply dedicate our life to serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then we'll go back to Godhead. I witnessed this with your friend and my friend Nirguna. That's what happened. You know, and it just like, you know, he was so weak. You were in Magatmaka, you were in Mayapur then? Oh, you hadn't gotten there yet. Oh, you weren't. You missed all the ecstasy. So, you know, it was just like, it was amazing. You know, he weighed 45 pounds at the end. You know, you had to put your ear on his mouth in order to hear what he was saying. It was just, you could only whisper. You know, but he, right to the very last day, he chanted 16 rounds. You know, like mind-blowing. You know, and the miraculous revelation that he got, right when the doctors, the attending physician, Abneesh from the Vaishvanta Hospital, he's a palliative care specialist. He said he wouldn't regain consciousness the night before. And he was, you know, we had an all-night vigil, you know, doing kirtan. And then he came to in the middle of the kirtan at 7:22 a.m. And he started chanting along with the kirtan, raised his arms up in the air, had this incredible grin on his face. And there was over 80 devotees in a 16 by 20 foot. It was the first Mayapur Institute classroom. And in spite of this, you know, incredible, tumultuous kirtan, Hari Sari heard Nirguna say, in a very loud voice, get your peace and go. You know, and so then he started dialoguing with Nirguna. I wasn't aware, until Hari Sari told me later. And Hari Sari said, Nirguna, you just said, get your peace and go. And Nirguna nodded. And then Hari Sari said, did someone say something to you? They had been dialoguing because, 3 weeks before, 10 days before, Nirguna had revealed to one of the caregivers. We had a caregiving team of over 45 devotees. And revealed to one caregiver that he had some indication that he was a Manjari. This was his position in the spiritual world, but he wasn't sure. And he was waiting for an invitation. So it seems like, oh, man, this is really way up there. But, it was just a really, heartfelt, and then it became a regular topic of discussion between Hari Sari and him, Nirguna. And they were, Hari Sari was coming reading for an hour and a half to 2 hours a day from unpublished manuscript of his diary. And so then, Hari Sari said, Nirguna, what do you mean by peace? And then Nirguna said, Giriraj. Oh, so you meant take Giriraj and go? And get Giriraj and go? And he was like puzzled. And I said, yeah. So who said this to you, Nirguna? And then he said, Giriraj. So Giriraj told you to take him and go? And Nirguna nodded, with a big blissful smile on his face. And this was the first BBT plate that Nirguna had seen of Krishna, of lifting Govardhan Hill. He had a very special place in his heart. And we had a Govardhan Shila right on his chest. And then Hari Sari put one in his hand. Some devotees have heard this story before, so they're leaving. But anyway, then an hour and a half later, he lost consciousness. But, he had understood what so then Hari Sari asked, did you get your invitation? And he said, yes. And then he just beamed. So he could understand, that was his Swarup, and this is symptomatic of the Bhava platform. Nirguna Prabhu. He's your god brother, a real good friend of mine. We were Sangatam partners for 18 years. He left his body in Mayapur 7 years ago. He had a real good book distributor. Yeah. And he's not the only example. Giriraj Swami published this book, what's it called? Death and Dying from the Vedic Perspective. And he found that not just Nirguna, but many, many devotees have had similar experience. Devotees that dedicated their life to pushing the Rupana. Hare Krishna. I think we're all over here. Hare Krishna. Thank you. What's that? Thank you.